It is Tuesday, December 19th, and today's show is an absolute banger. I cannot wait for you to listen to what is about to penetrate your ears. I am at Pat McAfee Show. At Sean Latham is sitting next to me. At Evan Foxy and at Ty Schmidt are behind the glass. And this Tuesday is about to be the greatest Tuesday in the history of Tuesdays. First things first, though. This show is made possible by one company and one company alone, and that is Blue Apron. If you haven't tried Blue Apron yet, what are you waiting for? It's easy, it's simple, and it's absolutely delicious. Blue Apron believes that anybody can cook great food on a nightly basis just by following their recipes. They have a slew. Did you hear that word, Sean?
That's a great word, Pat.
That's a slew. A slew, which is an SAT or an ACT word, which is very relevant for what we're doing right now. But a slew of professional chefs putting together recipes that make your taste buds excited and happy. Did you know that, Sean?
I sure did.
That's right, because you've been using Blue Apron, and you are a fully committed player into the Blue Apron game. And this December, their recipes have been off the charts, haven't they, Sean?
Oh, man. I'm telling you what. Last night, I made the chili butter steaks with lemon, parmesan, broccoli, and potatoes.
Oh, my God. What did you make?
I made the chili butter steaks with lemon, parmesan, broccoli, and potatoes, Pat. It was unbelievable.
That's some of the most outrageous shit. Because looking at you, you know,
yeah,
you're the $20 chef.
Yeah.
You're talented. Mm-hmm. Right?
You know me.
You're talented.
You know me.
But to say you put that meal together just last night because of Blue Apron, I mean, it comes to you. The food comes to you. You don't have to do anything. Let them help you. $20 chef will mix it together in a proper fashion. He'll tell you what to do every Wednesday night. But this Blue Apron thing is something you need to get on board with, because if you haven't, you've been missing out. Everybody's on board with it. Is that not right, Sean?
Everybody's on board.
Blue Apron is treating listeners to this show right now, their first three meals, a $30 value with your first order if you visit blueapron.com/Pat. That's blueapron.com/Pat. $30 value, your first three meals. They said, we got it. We got you. Thanks for listening to the show. Today's going to be a great one. Let's go ahead and kick this motherfucker off.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. He was a high school All-American, a college All-American. He was All-Pro in the NFL. But the thing that he's most proud of is during his show in Muncie, Indiana, he made a woman in the crowd laugh so hard she shit her pants. Ladies and gentlemen, Pat McAfee!
So the way today worked was, we got a couple edibles in us. We brainstormed a little bit, and we came in and out of the studio like four or five times, and you're about to hear the collaboration of all of them. It was an incredible day. I'm very excited for what you're about to hear. Let's get right fucking into it. This weekend was a big one for me. It was an epiphany-filled weekend, shall we say. No drugs were taken aside from marijuana. No booze we're drinking, only water, because I'm a healthy guy now, aren't I?
Yeah, you're healthy.
One man's health. This isn't just a fad. I've been healthy my whole life. I always eat good.
You're going to be healthy, wealthy, and stealthy, cuzzo.
Oh, cuzzo, like a ninja.
Would that be known?
Anyways, this weekend, I came to a full conclusion about the person that I want to interview the most on this show. And you've heard of him, you know him, and I cannot wait to describe to you why he is the number one human I want to talk to. Matt Groening, Simpsons guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a force.
He is a time traveler. Matt Groening is a time traveler. I did some research this weekend.
Yeah, okay? You did.
Sending some emails to people, sent some text messages. I'm like, hey, how come on my timeline, like random different people are like, oh, the Simpsons predicted it. The Simpsons predicted it. And I got a text back that was like, because the Simpsons predict everything, you should do some research. And I did. And this team at Ty Schmidt did, at Evan Foxy snooped around, at Sean Latham went in. Let's just go through some things that if something happens one time, anomaly. Happens two times, it's like, oh, okay, maybe. But whenever there's a trend of 18 plus, 20 plus things being predicted, you got to go like, hey, Groening, the gig's up. We know. You're a time traveler.
Just tell us.
Bro, I just want to talk to you. I got so many questions. Siegfried and Roy, Tiger Attack. Do you remember that?
Of course.
Do you remember back in the day how tight Siegfried and Roy were with their tigers? It was like every main story was like, oh, these tigers are the best behaved animals on earth, blah, blah, blah. Simpsons in 1993 said the tiger is going to turn. This little friendly tiger is going to become an enemy of Siegfried and Roy quickly, and it's going to happen. 2003, it actually happened. Autocorrect errors, 1994. Before you could even play Snake on the gray little box phone, they predicted that autocorrect will happen on your phone. Are you kidding me? Didn't happen until 2007. FaceTime, 1995. Not even a thought. I don't even know if anybody knew what the fuck the internet was in 1995. They said, don't worry, you'll be carrying around a device where you will be face to face with somebody on the opposite side of Earth. 1995, they said that. 2010, it happened. Faulty voter machines. 2008, they predicted it. 2012, it became the forefront of conversation in a big, big way. Florida, how's it going, by the way? I assume these voter machines have been up in question for a long, long time, but they just knew that it was going to come to fruition in 2012. The God particle. Now, this is the big one. Ty Schmidt did research. He said the God particle is the absolute reason why he is 1,000% a time traveler. Homer Simpson got up there like fucking Matt Damon in that movie where they have that
Good Will Hunting
and draws up this equation for what the God particle is, which what is the God particle?
Yeah, it's basically, it's this equation that essentially like explains how the universe was created.
And they did that in 1998, and the exact equation happens in 2012.
That's unheard of.
14 years ahead of time, they got Homer Simpson up there looking like that goddamn janitor from Harvard, solving equations up on a chalkboard, and 14 years later, it's like, yeah, that's actually how the universe was founded. It's like, wait a fucking minute, little comedy writer with a goddamn yellow cartoon, bro? That's insane. The NSA spying scandal. Everybody knew that the Patriot Act was like in existence, but nobody had a clue that NSA literally knows everything about you. Every dick you've sent has been seen by some government agency, but it wasn't always like that. We didn't know that everything was getting spied on, Sean. Nobody knew that.
I didn't know.
They predicted that in 2007, 2013 it happened. Smartwatches, 1995 they said it would happen, 2014 they came to fruition. America's Ebola outbreak, 1997 they said it, 2014. Do you remember when Ebola hit? It was like, it was literally
hospitals like shutting down.
Oh, they had people wearing like hazmat suits, carrying people around because they were scared Ebola was possible. In the modern world, this was happening. Years and years and years and years ago, Matt Gronick said this is going to happen. The FIFA corruption scandal, 2014, they called it, 2015. It came all crashing down. Everybody knew they were getting their pockets greased, making decisions, sending a World Cup to a goddamn desert.
Qatar.
Get
the fuck out of here.
175. Yeah, it'll work. Yeah, this decision was made with the game's integrity at heart. Not money at all. Not at all.
Yeah, yeah. What could be worse than, what could be better than playing soccer in 180 degree weather?
I don't think there's anything better than that. Good for the game, too. Qatar could really be a fast growing place for soccer. You know, it's probably a good idea to do that. I'm sure there was no money involved. Matt Gronick said it's going to happen. It happened. Greece's debt default. 2012, they called it. 2015, it happened. That's the one, so many countries out there, by the way.
They picked Greece?
The exact country to happen. Trump's presidency, 2000, they called it, 2016, it came to fruition. You've all seen the tapes of Bart Simpson, the Simpsons called this, President Trump out there, and everybody probably looked at, oh, those Simpsons guys are so funny. Bang, 16 years later, it is about to happen. It goes down. Lady Gaga Super Bowl halftime show, 2012, they called it, 2017. I mean, I think we all knew that she was born this way. She would probably get the halftime show at some point, but to the details that they had. These are not coincidences. I don't know how you pronounce it.
How the fuck do they know this stuff?
It's
gotta be a time traveler.
Matt Gronick is a time traveler. I have so many fucking questions. Disney's takeover of Fox, 1998. They said it, 2017, it happens. The Shard in London, which is a building behind Big Ben, I guess. Is that right?
Apparently, that's what Google search said.
1995, 2009, it comes to fruition. Robot librarians, 95, they called it. 2016, it happens. The censorship of Michelangelo's David, 1990, 2016, it happened. Three-eyed fish from the fucking nuclear waste place.
In Japan.
Three-eyed fish comes to fruition in 2001. Matt Gronick did it in 1990. 9/11. 9/11, they called that happening. If you do recall, planes going into buildings, they said it in 1997, 2001, it happens. I don't, the Syrian uprising, everything that's going on in the Middle East has all been talked about on The Simpsons. I have so many questions for Matt Groenick. And guess what, Matt Groenick? The gig's up. We know.
Just tell us how the inner workings of the Illuminati work, how they function, what kind of power they have, and we'll be happy.
Listen, if you're time traveling, let's not even talk about Illuminati. We already know. We know he's in there, right?
We know.
This is not, all these things I just read are real things. And then he created another show called Futurama. And that is huge. He created another show like, yeah, listen, here's me rubbing it in the face that's where I could go if I have to. Like, here's the, you're welcome, almost, Matt Groenick.
You're welks.
By the way, everybody talks about being a time traveler and like killing their sports bookie, right? Like doing this, doing that, maybe creating the internet, changing the world one way. This dude's like, no, I'm just going to make comedy, like a fucking a cartoon show. Just going to last forever. Going to be 400 episodes deep, Simpsons and Futurama just crushing it. So many questions.
What a slow play.
Oh,
what a slow play.
I don't understand. Like,
I mean, 95, he knew when this shit was going to all happen, obviously. So he says it 19, I think he's when he returned back to present day was in 95.
But listen, I was trying to like match up the years that he went to. I literally think he just hops, around. I think Matt Groenick just does whatever the fuck he wants. I think he's just here, he's there, he's gone. He's next year, he's back year, he's behind the times, he's up the times. Who knows what he's doing? Matt Groenick, which era was the best, you know? Like, which era is the most fun? How do you feel about the era we're in now compared to what we were in back then? By the way, next time he predicts some sports things in that thing, go ahead and lock that into some bet.
Lock it up.
Lock it in. In the next 10 years, I would like to make this bet for sure. Now, like, Sports Illustrated guessed that the Houston Astros were going to win the World Series in like 3 years. That's cool. That's an awesome prediction. But when you're talking about 20-plus situations, bang, 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 outrageous shit, too.
The one about the life. The life really throws me off. Because, I mean, that means that... That you can't just accidentally guess. The one about the equation, the Matt Damon shit.
Oh, yeah, because you have to see that, write that down, go back, write a script, make a cartoonist write that, send it out to the public. Public watches it, goes, oh, that's so clever he did that. And then 14 years later, this is how the world was started, by the way. It's absurd. I'm all in on you, Matt. And I'm a fan, by the way, aren't we? We're big fans.
I'm just a huge fan.
If you want to travel to future me or current me or past me and say what's up, I think we would all be appreciated.
Yeah. Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
What would you want him to tell you about what you got going on in the future, or you want to let that play out?
Yeah. Give me my last place. You know what I mean? Like, where's my last place I'm living at? Because if it's like a fucking what I want it to be, I'm like, all right, keep doing me. And if it's like a fucking street somewhere, I'm like, all right, change course a little bit.
I think there's too much. I think we would overthink things way too much.
If and we went to the future? Ruin,
it would fuck the destiny up.
Yeah, but we could be the next Matt Groenick if we go to the future. That's what we would
well,
do.
Well, yeah, sure. I'm not saying that. I'm not giving us the option to time travel. I'm asking you.
Oh, I want the option, Matt. By the way, I would like to tag along in one of these adventures to another time.
You probably have a bunch of points built up. You probably could go on the time travel, probably on the arm on this one, play points.
Is there a price? Is there something I can pay you, Matt Groenick? He's got to be a bazillionaire,
yeah,
right?
I mean, he's worth like
how
a
much
billion,
did
probably.
He invest in Bitcoin, by the way? Probably the amount that Darren McFadden thought he invested. Oh, my God. If Matt Groenick could go back and save Darren McFadden,
that'd be awesome.
His $3 million, we'd all be appreciative of it. Are you kidding me? He thought he invested $3 million into Bitcoin. A financial advisor told him he did. It would be worth, you go through life, you hear little like speakings about Bitcoin rising, and you're like, oh, yep, good for me. I put $3 million in that a little bit ago. You see the trends go up. You see some people talk about it on the news. Then one day it's the number one trend on Twitter. All of a sudden, Bitcoin's breaking the bank. John McAfee says he's going to will bite off his own dick if it doesn't get to $1 million by 2020. Darren McFadden's got to be like, bro, that's probably why he wasn't playing as well the last couple of years. This motherfucker thought he had hundreds of millions of dollars coming.
Probably logging it every day, looking at the news.
Oh, look at that thing. Climb, motherfucker, climb. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you got no millions. You don't even that $3 million you thought you invested into
gone.
Bitcoin, gone. The $237 million you thought you got never even existed. Don't even think about it. By the way, you better start playing football a little bit harder because all this shit's gone. All your saved money is gone.
You
dude, I didn't invest in a local tire shop, Sean. And it's doing average. Like I think it sells like 14, 15 O's a week. And I regret it every day. This dude thought he invested in $3 million. And nothing happened.
It was walking around on cloud 9 for years.
Cloud Big old dick swinging.
Just like, yo, I put in $3 million. Imagine all the other friends and players he told about his investment. Oh,
dude, listen, talk to me, guys, if you need some advice, okay?
Yeah, yeah. I'm an investment guru.
Okay, I've put 7 figures on Bitcoin, and look where Bitcoin is at now, okay? If you guys need any advice, let me know. Tony Romo, he's probably going to Jerry Jones, like, hey, bro, I'm thinking maybe a percentage of the team. What, you're negotiating contracts? Like, how big of a contract do you want? Give me league men, bro. I don't need it, bro. Let's build up the team. League men. Let's just keep it moving here. I got 237 M's coming.
Wow. In my bank account.
That is so much, so much fucking money.
He could have bought the Panthers and then just started at running back.
Could have started at quarterback if you wanted to.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of, GoFundMe is up and running. I'm trying to buy the Panthers.
I want you to know that I put 20 on it.
Well, Diddy thinks he's going to buy the Panthers. He called them the North Carolina Panthers and said he wants Colin Kaepernick to compete with Cam Newton for the starting position. I think that's what we like to call a poor idea, Diddy, and I don't think that's how you're going to get voted into the owners.
Just hire fucking Kaepernick and make him the backup. He's not going to be better than Cam Newton, you fucking moron.
Cam Newton's a fucking monster, by the way. God damn it. He ruined my best friend's weekend this weekend, but Cam Newton is a player. That little Clay Matthews give and take that he had, where Clay Matthews is like, it's that wheel route. And Cam Newton goes, oh, you watch a film, huh? That's good. Watch this. Snaps it.
Touchdown.
Fake wheel. Post. Touchdown. Christian McCaffrey. Out of nowhere. I love that. That means he is confident as fuck. That means he's breaking down film, right? Because he knew that that was probably a tendency of theirs. They changed it up. Offense coordinator and him came to an agreement. And he knew it was going to work. That's calling your shot. That's Babe Ruth to Clay Matthews.
Hey, watch this.
Hey, watch. Oh, you watch film, huh? Oh, you studied? You thought your homework was going to work? That's cool. Watch this. Tutter. Your best friend that you wake up with Morse code going to lose his first game back because you thought it was a wheel route. That's what Cam Newton said to Clay Matthews.
That was me talking to Clay Matthews.
I like Clay Matthews. I think he's a really good football player, and he's very attractive. But, boy, that video makes him look bad, bro. It makes him look like he knows. So it's kind of, it doesn't make him look bad. I'm just having a moment here because it looks like he's watching a film. He knew it was coming. Cam Newton noticed that he was watching a lot of film and goes, oh, we were hoping that you would do your due diligence almost. Mm-hmm. And that's why we went ahead and just broke that thing off real quick and just had him turn up field. That's good stuff. Cam Newton's a fucking football player. All right, to talk about all things that were the NFL this weekend, we have a friend who works here. He's a good friend of mine from my hometown. He's host of Heartland Radio Podcast. He has quick hits with Diggs Monday through Wednesday. And today he looks absolutely fucking outrageous because he lost a bet over the Panthers-Steelers game. At Tactical Diggs has had a rough day. But you look absolutely outrageous. You're wearing a full New England Patriots onesie because the Patriots beat the Steelers on some suspect happenings at the end of that game. How's your day been?
It's been terrible, man.
You look terrible, doesn't he?
You look busted up.
I didn't talk to
you. Beat.
As soon as the game was over last night, we had people over. I went straight to my room. I didn't talk to anybody. I wasn't planning on talking to any of you today. But, you know, I'm a nice guy and I broke.
So you had people over at the house. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for the invite. You watch the game.
You don't leave your house.
I wouldn't have came. Yeah, you're 100% right. I appreciate that. You thought about it. I think in your head you might have thought
about it. I know
better. But as soon as the game ends, when does the pit of misery start for a Pittsburgh Steeler fan? As soon as the pick happens in the end zone? Like, Le'Veon Bell's reaction was incredible. I'm assuming yours was nearly the same thing.
Oh, it was as soon as the pick happened, I got up and I walked right to my room and I shut my door and that was the end of my night.
Hey, see you, everybody. Everybody can eat shit. I hope you had a terrible time here tonight. See you later. That's your hospitality.
Closed social media, everything. I just went to bed.
All right, you got 40 seconds for us here?
Yeah, I got 40 seconds, man.
How do you feel about those final seconds of that Steelers-Patriots game?
Not great, man. Not great.
Let me give you a smoky intro.
All right. Go for it. Was that the intro? Ladies and gentlemen, with a play clock, 40 seconds to summarize the entire NFL weekend, your friend, the miserable, in a onesie at Tactical Diggs. Ready? Set, and let me get my clock out, and 40 seconds. Let's go. Don't start early. Don't end early, because even a couple seconds early, if you stop and throw a pick, like, the game's going to be bad.
Yeah, we get it. We fucking get it.
That's terrible, dude.
Dun 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 dun.
Bam 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 bam.
Dun 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 dun. Dun dun.
John Skipper, rough day. Yikes. Yeah, a little tight. I'm not an ESPN guy.
What is this? What is this? The PC crowd? Where are we at? Stanford.
Who would have thought that he would resign in a negative way after literally everything ESPN had did before he got in there was great, and everything he did after he got in was bad.
Man, having money and not doing drugs has got to be real tough.
How do you do it? the people who
the whole
don't
drug
smoke
world
weed,
is right at your fingertips.
Like, think, oh yeah, yeah. Those heavy drugs, though, I think people have a value on their life to stay away from those. I think he was just boozing, right? Is that what he was doing? He's just trying to get out of there, right?
I don't know. It said rehab. I don't know.
I hope he gets his life together, and for all the lives that he broke and dreams that he crushed, I hope it all comes back full round on the other side.
It's a cold world. Dress warm, motherfucker.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, 40-second play clock. Everything that was the B of the weekend the NFL had with at Tactical Digs, 3-2, and we're off.
Bears, Lions. Lions knew what day it was. Lions win. Chiefs, Chargers, no idea. I was drunk. Chiefs win. Ravens, Browns, own 14, living the dream. Browns lose. Cards, Redskins, assume Fritz broke a record. Cards lose. Eagles, Giants, no Wentz, no problem. Eagles win. Dolphins, Bills, never go full Cutler. Bills win. Packs, Panthers. Oh, you watch film? That's cool. Watch this. Panthers win.
Oh.
Texans, Jags. Is Bortles trash? Texans lose. Bengals, Vikings. Can't fire if I retire. Vikes win. Saints, Jags.
Left.
Saints win. Hawks, Rams. Don't fuck my girl and keep my name out your mouth. Rams win. Patriots, Steelers. Titans.
35 boom. Seconds.
Who did the Titans play? Titans, 49ers. Niners. Jimmy, still gorgeous, still undefeated. Cowboys, Raiders, $75 billion we're using. I couldn't read my fucking writing.
Let's talk about some of the things you brought up there, because we haven't had any NFL talk yet on this show.
Let's go.
So Saturdays Are for the Boys thing with Golden Tate. Yep. Real cool. Loved what he did, everything he did. And the Stafford's legit, dude.
Rocking the towel.
He's a football player.
Fuck yeah, he's...
What's his name?
He's an old gunslinger.
What's his name?
Matty Stafford?
Matthew.
Matthew. Yeah, I will not call him that.
Don't disrespect him.
I will also not call fucking that... We'll not call Mitch.
Yeah. Hey, it's like Dan Orlovsky said, man. After you get fucking seven commas in your shit,
you're allowed to make the rules.
Make up rules. And his name is now Matthew.
Yeah, well, I got a microphone in front of my face. So I got rules, too.
Counter rule.
Dude, he's wearing a fucking onesie right now.
Rocking the onesie.
That even have like the footy things on it. And that's his. So it was an incredible weekend. Mm-hmm. How about Marvin Lewis just saying, you know what? Gone. Every year you guys talk about firing me. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, it was, can't fire me if I quit. And then after the game, he said he wasn't doing it. So
he said he's not?
Yeah, yeah. He lives his life like he coaches the Bengals. He has no fucking idea.
This is like that FIFA... Hilarious shot at him. This is like that FIFA guy, though. The head, the president.
Yeah.
When everything got ugly, he thought he was going to get canned because it was all going to shit runs downhill, you know? And then once he found out that he wasn't under investigation, he was like, I'm joking, I'm back.
Was it the Blatt dude?
Or yeah. And then he got ambushed at the next press conference by everybody. Mm-hmm. He quit, and then he was back in the game all of a sudden. Is that what Marvin Lewis is doing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Marvin Lewis is looking around at all the jobs that are probably going to be open and all the coaches are going to be fired, and Bengals are going to be like, I don't think the Bengals can find a real good coach. I think I can just stick it around right now, Marvin Lewis is thinking. A lot of firing is about to happen, I think. I think the Colts are done. I think Colts coaching staff knows that they're out. The Cleveland Browns, do you think they're going to fire their coaching staff or no?
They already said they weren't because they let go of the GM and stuff.
How about John Dorsey coming out and saying... the people that were here before us had no idea what the fuck. That's what he said. The new GM of the Browns, he came out and said, the people that were here before us had no fucking idea what they were doing.
Who else isn't safe? I don't even know if the Titans staff is safe.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like coaching jobs are about to be up. We live in a success now or get the fuck on world.
Texans, maybe?
Listen to this. I wrote this one time. This is a really good thing. So this is whenever I wrote this on a plane ride home. We had eaten some edibles.
Mm-hmm. Par for the course.
It was a flight home. Okay. I don't like planes. No way. Don't like planes. But I'm going to have a good time out here. Everybody was asleep. It was a night game. I was the only one awake, and I was feeling pretty good. I think we won, and I probably had a pretty good game. Had some tunes on, instrumental hip-hop radio, my standard writing thing. And it still plays. I think this was 2015 I wrote this.
Okay.
So it still plays in the NFL. Whew, it's a long one. It's a four scroller. So go ahead and buckle the fuck up. I was in there. I was in there. The fear of the perception of complacency has really changed the NFL immensely. Owners slash GMs fear the thought of fans thinking they have become complacent. A couple games lost slash a bad season nowadays means change has to occur. We live in an instant gratification society. We want everything now. Our news, our entertainment, and what I'm referring to is our team success right now, all the time. This thought process is not a negative one. People should expect greatness all the time. They should expect their teams to be the greatest. There are so many cliche quotes that all contradict each other. One quote says, live as if you won't be here tomorrow. Another says, patience is a virtue. With that being said, it's very apparent that there are so many different trains of thought. It just so happens that the ones who expect everything right now, the ones who live as if it's their last day on earth, are usually louder than the patient humans. They take the Twitter, they write in newspapers, they create blogs, and push the agenda of right now all the time. When building a team, it can take time, but nowadays time is not possible. GMs slash coaches know that the fear of the perception of complacency will cost them their job if a lack of success persists. Wow, what a run that was. Wow.
Is this an article for Rolling Stone, Pat?
That's why nowadays you see so many trades and moves and pieces being interchanged. Losing is awful, however it happens, but the fear of fans thinking you're not doing anything about it is the thing that really drives decision-making in the NFL.
Tell you what, wouldn't be a bad blog.
Go ahead and quote that blog. I still don't know. We just restructured our contracts with Barstool, and I still don't know how
we'll
to get it
there.
Just
set it to Jeter. He'll throw it in the Players Tribune for you.
I don't think he will.
Is this somebody supposed to be blogging for you for a week?
I think Jeter might be done with the Players Tribune.
Smitty.
Smitty.
Smitty's supposed to
put him
block.
To work.
Wait a minute. That's wild, by the way. That comes around right there. Everything
come around.
Everything just comes full circle right there. Unbelievable. That is out of control. Anyways, that's true, though. That fear of complacency is like the big thing. Just the perception of complacency. So if you're a GM and you're not making moves and your fans are like tweeting at the owner or the team, like, this sucks. Like, we don't like this. We'll go to another team. They're all like, well, we got to make a change. Got to make a change.
The Bengals are the most complacent motherfuckers around.
Of all time.
15 years. He's only had like seven playoff bars, seven winning
And they
seasons.
Have really good fans, too. So it's wild that, like, there hasn't been uproar after uproar.
They were celebrating yesterday after he announced he was gone. Oh. And then,
dude, this happened to me before. Rich Rodriguez, my sophomore year, was supposed to go to Alabama. We were all at the bar. Rich Rodriguez's little picture pops up on ESPN. And there's an Alabama A next to it. And they're like, caption says, confirm that Rich Rodriguez will be the next coach of Alabama. We're all like, fuck yeah, bro. Get out of here, cuz. Like, this guy was a horrible person. He was so, like, I'm sure he's a good person. But boy, as a coach, he was tough, man. He said some.
I don't know, man. Normally you could tell if your coach is like a hard-ass coach that you could tell if he's a good person. You said he's probably a good person.
I don't know, dude. I've never seen him. Like there's a couple times where he's gotten like nice. There was a couple times where he got nice with us. And one was like after I roasted him at this gong show. Mm-hmm. And he like laughed and he like seemed like a guy that we could like relate to. But other than that, he was a fucking stern dude. Not happy. Don't look at me. Let's not even have a conversation. You son of a fucking bitch. Don't even you fucking think about talking to me right now. You fucking kidding me, you motherfucker. But we won a lot of games together. So like it was one of those things. So we're at the bar and it says he's going to Alabama. So we celebrate, right? We're like, well, whatever coach comes next, every life has to be a lot easier than what it is now. And that was true. That was the case. So we go in the next morning. There's an emergency press conference. And we're all rolling in there like gone from the night before. We just celebrated what's about to happen. Like a lot of us just celebrated what was about to happen. And he gets up there. And he has his whole family with him, great family. His wife is an incredible person. I liked her a lot. The kids are cool. And he goes, well, I was offered a job at Alabama. It's a life-changing job, and I'm not going. And then he walks away, and then he just walks out with his family, and we all just like, I mean, the fuck just happened? Because we literally had a, and then it happened a year later again. So we're at the bar again, and it's like his name pops up, and then Michigan pops up, and we're like, like, what do we do here? Do we sell? Like, what's going to happen? And then he came up the next day, and he was like, yep, I'm gone. See you later. I'm going to Michigan. See you later. And we're like, all right, well, see you later, buddy. And that was before the bowl game. Then Bill Stewart becomes coach.
I don't think he picked the right school.
Michigan was not a Rich Rodriguez school.
Not even close.
No way. After being in Ann Arbor, I completely understand how it didn't work. Because I think Rich Rodriguez is a good coach.
He wasn't a Michigan guy.
But he is nowhere. I'm not a Michigan guy. Like I could barely walk around there. I mean, the place is so nice. I completely understand that if I have a child and it ends up in Michigan, I'm gonna be happy about that. Like that's gonna be something that I'm pretty excited about, you know?
It's a good place.
Great time.
A lot of money up there.
But boy, not for Rich Rod. I mean, those kids got options up there, dude. Like, we were on our last option. Like, if West Virginia kicks me out, like, my freshman year, like, I know I'm going to be kicking in fucking, like, Community College of Allegheny County.
Shout out CCAC.
Shout out CCAC.
He tried to come in and just do the spread, and that was not going to happen in the Big Ten, especially at Michigan, who's I formation. And
I don't think it's about, like, what he was doing on the field, because I think he was getting his players in there that he needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he was just a horse's ass, like the boosters and everyone. That's hated what I'm saying. Yeah.
If anybody who had a lot of money who were Michigan people watched Rich Rodriguez in a practice, I have no idea. Their heads might fucking explode, like, literally. Be like, this is what is representing Michigan, huh? Is he a Michigan man? I don't think he's a. There's no way Rich Rod did well with them up there. He's a blue collar dude, like from West Virginia, like from a coal town. Like, he just doesn't give a fuck about much except for winning. There's no way. I think in Arizona he's a good spot, but who knows what's gonna happen with him? But in the NFL, coaches are gonna be gone soon. It's gonna happen. But Marvin Lewis saying he's going to quit and then not doing it is such a... How many years has he got left on his contract?
I don't know. Oh, no, it's up. It's up after the end of the season. They didn't even renew him. He's done after the end of the season.
They haven't been the worst team the last 4 or 5 years.
How does that... Is that a troll job then? Did somebody troll him and leak that out?
Schefter was the one who broke it, so who knows?
So did somebody troll him?
I hope so. Like pulling the fucking fire alarm at the team hotel type thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like troll, like somebody was like, oh, we'll get him to quit himself. We'll just announce that he's doing it.
Snuck in his office and sent an email from his from his email account to Schefter.
To pursue other options. Like, okay, if you're saying you're going to pursue other options, like maybe one TV channel will come out and say, like, we hired you. But what are your other options? Maybe he's a business owner. I have no idea. Who knows what Marvin Lewis
does? Did you guys talk about the $75 billion company that in 2017 uses index cards and little chintzy little chains instead of fucking lasers?
By the way, hilarious move by Gene Steratore. Hilarious. That's a Pittsburgh guy, by the way. Did you see how proud of himself he was?
Proud.
He did it. He pulls it out. Yeah, that's what I fucking thought right there.
That's like if you're playing fucking shuffleboard, there's like a piece, there's like a wood brick to tell who's farther on the line.
For those of you that don't know, they had the first down marker down, and then they had the football down, and then they put a little card, like an index card down there, and the ball, tip of the ball, and the first down marker touched the card. So that means they were at the same place.
First down.
Don't even. it's absolute good math because, I mean, it's guaranteed that his card was parallel to the sideline. Wasn't turned at all.
Wasn't leaning.
And he folded it in half. Yeah, he folded it in half. He made it thicker, though.
Gene making a play. I love that, man. I love that. These refs, man. These refs have no home fans. They got nobody that's pulling for them. Not a single person's pulling.
They know what they're signing up for, though.
Bro, you don't go to a game like, you know who I'm pulling for today?
The refs.
Dude, I hope this ref crushes it today. This ref is going to have a perfect fucking game.
Let's go, Hockey League!
Let's go, Ed!
Let's go, Ed!
Jesus. Ed, your eyes look like you're sharp today. You're on it. We know it. Let's go. Gene Steratore, we know you're going to pull out that trick you did with the index card. You've been practicing all offseason for this move. He thought of that, by the way, before that game happened. He said, if I'm ever in this situation, this is what we're going to do. I love Gene. He's like the super ref.
Mm-hmm.
He refs everything, and he's cool, too. I get a chance to talk to a lot of them when I go out and punt and shit. Gene's a cool dude. Some of them, not so much, just for future ref. I don't like all of them. Walt.
I know you don't. I know.
Of course not.
But have you, in the AFC South, you ever talked
to him? He's probably a good guy. Probably. He gave me a bullshit offsides when I drew the D lineman offsides. He called it on me. It was a good cadence.
Too much hands?
Red, sit! D lineman jumps offsides. Perfect. Go for two, Chuck. Let's go. Now we're down at the 1 yard line instead of the two for the extra point because you're at the 15. I'm like, let's go for two. And I hear the ref tell Walt that the D lineman moved. And Walt goes, no, I'm going to call it on one. It turns around, full start. Offense number one. So now Vinatieri has to kick a 38-yard extra point as opposed to me thinking we're going for two because of fucking Walt. So
Was it the hands or the head motion?
He said that, so there's rules, like you can't move your head towards the thing and your hand can't move towards the line. But I practiced, like I legit practiced because I drew a lot of people off sides. People look up my, I think I got like 3 to 4 people in my last season last year. I felt good about my cadence because I was like, this is like, cadence is like poker. You're playing
your
poker.
Your best friend Rogers does it a lot.
Oh, it's in our friendship.
The best.
Yeah,
it's our friendship DNA.
Just another reason why you could tell why you guys are best friends.
Yeah,
I would. Connection's deep.
That would be awesome.
I would try to get our D-line in practice offside every fucking day because I loved it. We had so many calls. We had like a 4 snap. We had a 4. We had to go on 4 if we needed it, if I was fucking. I would go on like 1 for the first one, and then I'd see the guy leaning. I'm like, okay, we'll go on 1 again just to get him in a rhythm. You know, let's let him feel it a little bit. Let's let him feel it. And then, bang, we're going to go on 3. And they're like, all right, let's rock. And they go, set. And he's all the way on top of the line, like the long snapper at this point. And it's like, bang, let's go. And feels good.
You know who fucked you?
Who's that?
Who was your long snapper?
Overton.
Yeah, he never threw it back to you for a free play?
No, I know. What?
See?
What? I never even thought about that.
I did.
Think about that.
Could have threw it back to you for a free play.
Unbelievable. All of a sudden, I'm fucking, I could throw 14 interceptions on free plays.
Doesn't matter.
You could be the king of the pick unofficially.
I could have drop kicked it out of nowhere.
He fucked you.
How many times did that happen, you think?
3 times, I think. But also, Overton was normally getting crushed. So we got to remember that. He's getting demolished by said D lineman who jumps off sides early. You know what I mean? Big weekend.
Did you see Cutler yesterday by chance?
Dude, fucking Sean put him as a lock, dude. Sean said it was a lock. Cutler was going to go into Buffalo.
He hates the cold so much.
Dude.
They got that onside kick, and the Dolphins were like, yeah, we got a chance. And Cutler was like, fuck this. Here's a pick. We're going home. We're out of here.
Yeah, that was just a running joke. We were watching the game yesterday. Like, dude, this is the guy you want. Back against the wall. Fucking clutch. Fourth quarter. Bring the heat, only when it matters type of quarterback.
His 2 second half picks were like not even close to a wide receiver. He was like, fuck this. I am out of here.
That's his MO.
Well, what about Jimmy G? This guy's been on ice for fucking 8 years. He should be rusty.
Who?
Garoppolo.
No, his looks are so distracting.
He's so attractive.
That the defense doesn't know what to do.
So attractive. Throwing for 3 bills. Robbie Gould's going 6 for 6 out there. John Lynch is running on the field afterwards celebrating. John Lynch is like, we found a quarterback.
Also,
I'm going to be good at this job.
Don't forget, that was my other lock.
What?
Fucking San Francisco.
Yeah, but they didn't
was
cover.
Was it a pick 'em?
It was on our paperwork we had was 1.5.
Oh, now you're getting down to the logistics.
hey, the podcast notes I received from Ty said fucking 49ers -1.5.
What a big win for them. What a big, they called it 1.5, huh?
Ty.
It was 2.5 on Sunday.
What they win by 2?
Yeah, I mean,
we locked it in early.
Yeah, we locked it in early.
So your boy took the dub. 50% on locks.
Oh, but how were they so fucking close to guessing that? 1.5, and it was final by 2. And it would have been 1.5 if San Francisco didn't go back the other way.
Steelers-Patriots was 2.5, and the Pats won by 3.
That motherfucking Las Vegas dude. Who's that guy we talked to?
Raiders were, or Dallas Raiders was by 3, and or was 3.5, and
plus
they won by 3.
I got it by plus 3. I got it at plus 3.
But I'm just saying, they're all fucking close as shit.
Man, Aaron Rodgers scored more than 21.5 points. There's my new bet, by the way.
I thought for sure it wasn't happening, too. There was 4 minutes left, and they turned it over.
You should have seen me. I had a very handsome amount of money on that. I'm like, my new best friend, bro. He wouldn't disappoint me. He knows that. They had a commercial welcoming him back. Did you see that? People at Green Bay like, yup, we're going to win it all this year.
I made a whole rap video for him.
Guess who's back?
Mm-hmm.
Back again.
Aaron's back.
Tell a friend.
Do you think Garoppolo just went to Belichick? He's like, listen, man, can I just go play football?
I don't understand.
I've been laying in the cut for fucking this many years. Let me go do something.
He's just incredible, huh? He's just incredible at football. Is that the case? Is he like really good?
First game, 295. Then in the last two, 300 plus.
Boy's a big fan.
Are you kidding me? So him and Deshaun Watson are about to be full-time quarterbacks next year. Yeah. And that's, I got a friend who plays for the Houston Texans. You probably know him. Friend of the show. Said they're going to win the Super Bowl next year. He said they're going to win the Super Bowl next year. Deshaun Watson was lights the fuck out whenever he was playing.
Speaking of them,
yeah,
they got blown out. And then Clowney said Bortles was trash. after losing by like 40.
Burrow's threw for like 400.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens. How's that work?
Somebody asked Clowney if he's improved, I believe was the wording. And Clowney said, no, he's trash.
There's one thing that can't.
That's just shit talking. He just don't give up. Stats don't matter at that point. Like, yo, they're fuck
gonna,
him. He's
they're
going to
win the Super Bowl next year. Texans are going to win the Super Bowl next year.
Are we locking that up?
Yeah.
What an instigator. What a fucking instigator. That was awesome.
Go ahead and hit that. Lock it up. Go ahead and hit that. That's an average lock. You know?
It's an average lock.
That's like just your standard.
That's average. A Simpsons guess. Lock it up.
Not
that.
That's Vegas standards. Their accuracy. That's basically.
What if
there's a connection?
Wait a minute. What if Groening and his boy runs the book in Vegas?
Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Instead of taking down Vegas like a regular dummy would,
he just
do,
runs it.
He said to Vegas, "Hey, listen, guys. Let's be honest here. I pop around here next Sunday, maybe Sunday after that." Maybe February, mid-time, I can go and come back, whatever we need to do. Just go ahead and let me handle it, and you guys pay me, well, you know, well. I mean, I'm going to bounce around, obviously.
He's got to take a 60-40 cut minimum, right?
For sure. And that pays for his little fucking spaceship thing that he hops. What is it, you think?
I think he cloaks. I think you cloak in and out.
What do you think he does?
No, he's got a portal gun.
Straight face right there.
How does the portal gun work?
I believe that Diggs 1 million percent believes that that is the answer. Right?
Yeah, it's just a gun, and you shoot it at the ground, and this portal opens up, and he goes to his other worlds or other futures, wherever he needs
to
be.
Oh, so you just aim this portal gun straight down?
No, it's not that big. It's not that big. It's a handgun.
Handgun, all right.
It's like the cricket. It's like the cricket.
You pull a trigger, portal opens.
Mm-hmm. You hop in like a fucking waterfall.
And then bingo.
Yeah,
bingo, bango. Do you adjust time and shit on the pistol?
Yeah, yeah.
On the side of it?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it's so high tech. So high tech that you don't have to do that. You just think in your brain.
Oh, you're thinking. Oh, I think it's true.
So you're one with the gun.
Mm-hmm.
One with the gun. Mm-hmm.
We're only one step from telepathy.
What happens if you lose the gun? What if you lose the gun? Are you stuck in?
You know, you just got to find the gun maker in that dimension.
Has Groening ever got stuck? I wonder. Just like, fuck. I'm sure I'm going to have to live through the what?
I mean, I'm sure he shit his pants.
The
couple
17
pants
what?
Moments.
Where am I right now? The 1700s. Get me out of here. That's going to be a few years, bud.
He's got to have invisibility then. I mean, just as a basic fucking weapon that goes in your little belt of fucking stuff, your Batman belt, you have to have the basic invisibility, because if you do get stuck, you lose your gun somewhere in the 1960 or fucking, eight, you know, 1945, you're on fucking a boat with Columbus.
Dude, I don't understand. I just don't get, because I'm, there's not a lot, I believe in a lot, like, you know.
I believe in a lot out there. There's a lot going on we don't know about.
But this one I'm really sold on. This is too many. Too many things. Too many. Speaking of too many, you want to talk about too much good? You ever heard of that?
No.
Hey,
no,
what's
no.
your biggest flaw? Too great. That's what this company said. Bespoke Post is this company that you get gifts from basically once a month, and it's just like things that you would never ever think of that are awesome.
Well, treat yourself.
It really is.
It is.
It's you signing up for a gift basically to yourself that you would have never thought about.
Yeah.
They show, this is, I'm saying this with 100% sincerity. They show up at the office. It's like a game. Like, I'm excited to see what the fuck pops out of it. We got a glass coffee brewer that looks incredibly dope.
It's like blown glass with like a rope around the middle of it that you make coffee, that you make like espresso
coffee,
out of.
And then you dump it out of the, it's like, such a cool, they got a wallet, they have this fucking bottle.
They sent you luggage?
The carry-on bag was real dope.
They sent you a little Cavassier?
Yeah, just like a one-stop shop. Yeah, the little, the sniffer.
Yeah, the
sniffer glass things.
With a little extra bottle to put your you know, your scotch in.
It's literally the coolest man shit that you would never think of buying for yourself. Because you don't know it exists, probably. But Bespoke Post goes and collects all this cool shit to send to you. And for us, it's something that I'm happy they got on board with us, because if I ever heard about it, I would have purchased it probably. I love gifting me stuff. I love it. Don't you?
Big fan of fucking sending my stuff, random stuff.
Look
out,
out
of
for
mail.
Number one.
Oh, you're looking out for future you. By the way, Groening, let's go
connection.
Talk to him.
That's the third future connection in this conversation. Mm-hmm.
Bespoke Post is a subscription club that offers monthly themed boxes curated from unique and upcoming brands around the world. So you're getting shit before anybody else too. That's what, like, all these companies are like small companies, I think, and it's before they blow up. Like Bespoke Post just kind of rounds them all up. Hey team, you kind of up and coming company. Mm-hmm. It's about to be a bazillion dollar company. We want to get your shit out there first. And it's like, for you, it's a gift because mm-hmm. you're finding things that most of the world doesn't even know about. There's a wide variety of box themes. There's style, grooming, cooking, drinking, travel. They cover all the bases. No commitments. They tell you what box you're assigned on the first of each month, and you have 5 days to keep it, switch it, or skip it. Keep it, switch it, or skip it. Flip them out and reverse it. You keep it, you switch it, or you skip it. That's a pretty good little thing they... That's really smart marketing. Mm-hmm. Bespoke Post, if you're listening to that, that was a really good line right there. Because it's true. Because maybe you're a little, you don't like commitment, right? Nobody like, commitment's tough.
It's the worst.
Commitment's a tough thing.
It takes work to commit.
Yeah, and every other day, your email shows up with something that they try to commit you to, and you're like, I don't want to be a part of this anymore, but I don't know how to get out of it. Bespoke Post is like, listen, you got 5 days to tell us if you want to keep it, switch it, or skip it, and don't get charged for it. Visit BespokePost.com and answer a few short questions that will help them gauge your interest and get a feel for the boxes that will vibe with your style. Ooh. Help them help you. Each subscription box goes for only $45 with more than $70 worth of goods inside. That's a deal to begin with. That's $25 off to mm-hmm. begin with.
Mm-hmm. Just out the gate.
Just out the gate, $25 off, $45. To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to BespokePost.com and enter promo code Heartland at checkout. That's 20% off your first box at BespokePost.com. Promo code Heartland. Bespoke Post themed boxes for guys that give a damn. Oh,
I give a damn.
All the dams.
I give them.
Nice D-Black.
All the dams. I give them. All the dams. All right, guys. Diggs, I appreciate that.
Hey,
dude.
Thanks, guys. This is fun. You guys.
Thanks for coming in and talking to us.
Yeah, I didn't want to. But
morning show coming up January 15th. It's only a morning show if you live in the Pacific time zone.
It's an awesome lunch break show. If not,
yeah.
This is a fucking worldwide channel.
Worldwide, wide. Yeah.
Okay, guys, see ya.
January 15th. Let's do this.
Diggs in a onesie.
You look ridiculous. I'm talking to you. Come on. I just think you should watch Mrs. Brown's Boys. I think you'll like it a lot. I do believe you'll like it.
I'm gonna watch it, but I'm balls deep in season 5 of The Wire right now. I'm very emotionally committed.
I thought about doing that with The Sopranos. Like those old shows that everybody loves that I ain't never seen before. I was gonna do that with Sopranos. I think The Wire might be on that list too. You're enjoying it.
Yeah, and I've been rewatching a lot of like season 1, 2, 3 of Sopranos at night, you know? And I'm an office guy now, Pat.
What's your favorite season of The Wire, Sean?
Last season was pretty good. Season 3 was pretty fucking good. I like them all, man. I love the development of the characters. I mean, how long they stay.
I'm an office guy. Change their roles.
So, yeah, I'm crushing some shit at night now. You can't go out now during the week. I don't want to be a piece of shit in the morning.
That's true, because your energy means a lot in this place.
Yeah, I radiate positive energy, and that's why you got to keep going.
That's a big part of the resume, by the way. Big part of the resume. Positive energy flowing outwards from me into other people. That's the way it goes. That's a good resume builder.
I'm going to hit it.
Do you like The Wire?
I love it. I love it, because what I also love is
it's all like about Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
It's a wild city.
It covers everything. From fucking a homeless dude to senators and mayors. Everybody's. No one's safe in the show.
Does The Wire have the riots from Baltimore involved in it?
No, this was way before.
Really?
This takes place like when fucking like Razor phones and Nokia joints. That point, like probably early 2000s.
The first season came out in 2002.
The way you just said joint right there. The Nokia joints. You're in Baltimore right now, I think. That's like Baltimore speak. Joint.
Yeah, that shit... Oh, man.
That's what you
that
said.
Show.
You said you got the Nokia joints.
Yeah, you know, the new joints, that joint.
Yeah.
Oh, look, they got some new joints on, man.
Explain what a joint is to the listeners who don't know what a joint is.
There's some cool shit, like, you know, like if someone got a new pair of shoes, you can say
new
that
shit.
Them.
New shit.
Be like, oh, shit. Look at these guys, some new joints, though.
You know what? I think The Wire is on my list to watch, but I'm going to be honest when I say this. The documentary section of Netflix has almost consumed in my life. I watched, and on YouTube. Now I'm so far now I'm going to other platforms and projecting them onto my TV with mirroring or whatever. I watched the Confessions of Richard Kulkinski, the Iceman. I watched the interview with him, a jailhouse interview with this guy. It's like 40 minutes long. They said they interviewed him for 17 hours. This dude just killed, like, estimated 100 people.
Oh, the guy that worked for the mob.
The big Polish. He's a 6'7" Polish man who just is he honestly only murdered people just because he just did it. Like, that was just his job. He would get paid, like, so much money. Oh, wild interview with him. I'm all in on these documentaries. It's tripping me out. What's real? What isn't real? I don't know. You put documentary on there, I'm all in. I was in there in Reno 911. Like, what's going on, Dangle? You know what I mean? Unbelievable. What do you like to watch on there? You enjoy some stuff on there.
What I like now is, now that I'm way older than when I first watched Sopranos, when there was no, you had to be there at the exact time to watch it or you fucking missed it. Back in the day.
God, back in the day, life was so different.
You had to be, if you would watch Sopranos, you're like, yo, I got to get home, man. My show's on tonight.
Entourage, Sunday, 9 o'clock. You got to be ready. You got to be there to watch it.
Or there was no.
Your life was revolved around
it. Sopranos is pre-TiVo. So now I've been rewatching it. So much fucking hilarious material. Like, they shit talking is so, I mean, I'm enjoying it. Just rewatching shit I already seen. It was so long ago.
I can't wait to get into the Sopranos. I like the mafia stuff a lot. I enjoy it a lot, so I think I'll enjoy The Sopranos. Those things that look older, though, my eyes have this thing that they do. They're like, oh, you're going to hate this. You know what I mean? If it's like a film.
No, I think it's been like remastered now, so like it'll look good on the TV.
You mean like car models and things like that?
No, I'm talking about like the
actual look of it.
Yeah, so if something is like a film-based and it has like a little bit of that like haze on it almost, my eyes are like, yep, you're not going to like it, because my dad used to watch these fucking bullshit TV shows when he had to control the remote, just bullshit. I'm like, yep, that reminds me of those shows. They're all going to suck. And I'm wrong most of the time. I know that, because a lot of films are beautiful. I understand that Forrest Gump was shot on film, I believe. It's just like beautiful pictures and stuff like that. But normally I've about had it. You know what I mean? I about had it. But remastering is like what? They're just making money off the old shit again?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, they recently did that with The Wire, too. They just basically make it so that you can like watch it. You can buy it on Blu-ray now, whereas you could only get it on DVD before.
Not a bad move.
It was remastered. I'm going to do that with my after I start dropping one-hour specials.
Yeah.
I'll just be like, 4 years later, I'm going to be like, remastered my old set.
We the best.
Here's my old jokes, but here they are remastered. They look way better. These jokes look better.
And sound better for your viewing pleasure.
My old set remastered.
What a fuck. Somebody's going to do that. Somebody's going to steal that hustle by the way. Write it down. We're like The Simpsons all of a sudden. People are going to do that for sure. Man, so much good shit. So much good shit out there. The fucking Icarus documentary led to the Russian fucking takedown of the Olympics, which they're now competing as independents. Hilarious situation. Hilarious. Just representing as an independent with a Russian everything else. Speaking in Russian to Russian reporters. That makes no sense to me.
They should have a draft, a worldwide country draft, and do exactly like the lottery. If you haven't won shit, if you're some fucked up country, never won shit, then you get the first pick. Now all of a sudden you got some dope ass Russian fuck now for going for his country.
So it's like when Las Vegas had the Knights and they started the Golden Knights.
Yeah,
yep,
so
Golden Knights.
The Golden Knights. They just started taking players from other teams. That's what you're talking about, basically.
Well, the Russians
losing a team. A team's getting taken away, and their players are getting selected to other countries. Right?
Yes.
Imagine being a Russian, like getting drafted to some other country to go compete, like for the track. Like, I couldn't even. That's why I want to make enough money. Starting to GoFundMe. I asked Jim Mersey that I can buy the Carolina Panthers. First things first.
Now, has he gotten back to you?
I think he's kind of busy.
He could be mulling over the decision as well.
Oh, you want what, bro? You want to buy a team? With who? My money. Wow, that's wild. When I own two teams then, or just one, and then my money owns another team. Oh, and then two different identities. Oh, my God, wow. I don't think I can do that for you. I don't think he's going to do it for me.
Hey, but you know what, though? Sometimes you just got to throw it up against the wall, see what sticks.
Yeah, I put it on Twitter, too, so yeah, I knew. Like,
it's a fish.
He'd see it, you know? It's a letter. And then I want to buy them, and then I want to buy a country, and we can compete in the Olympics ourselves. Everybody do whatever they want to do. If you want to speed walk, speed walk. Great celebration, by the way, the other day. I will never say anything different. I love a good speed walk. oh my God, I said it on the Laces Out show with AJ Hawk and Jerry Thornton, and they looked at me like I was a fucking idiot. Dude, when the Speedwalkers get on TV at like 2, 3 a.m. and you can't sleep during the Olympics, which is like 24-hour America's Better Than You coverage, which I love.
Yeah.
But I want to let you know that I love it. Speedwalking is incredibly hilarious to watch. It is. I'm a fan favorite. I'm going to be honest. I'm a fan favorite of the speedwalking. So that celebration really scratched me where I itch. It didn't suck me where my dick is. It wasn't that great because then not all of them finished the race. If you do see, only one of them finished. In classic stadium race style, everybody has to finish, but there has to be the clear winner. That's...
And that's what I like about that classic stadium race style. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just that truth, the honesty to the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you got to appreciate.
Every section thinks they have a chance at the beginning of that race.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Every section. I've seen that done in so many different stadiums. It's outrageous. The section race on the video thing. Oh, I've seen entire sections get lit for a fucking yellow tennis shoe running through a city downtown because their section's going to win a free pizza.
Now, what's the over under? Like, what is? Are they allowed to speed walk like in restaurants and in like grocery stores? What's the etiquette on that?
I don't know. I think they have to turn it off. I think they have to shift down a gear, Sean. I think they have to shift down a gear in real life. That is not. It's a real. You got to flip the switch, just like in all sports. You got to flip the switch. You know, you can be a geek off the field, Luke Kuechly, and then a monster on it. You can be a regular ass walker off the streets, and then whenever you're in the race, whenever you got them short-ass shorts on and a fanny pack.
Yeah.
And you go heel-toe, heel-toe, heel-toe with no feet being both off there.
And, you know, I think that, but we all know, though, legitimately, speed walking is your second choice of sport because no one grows up like sees the talent in a walk like this guy walks fast. Yeah, he should go.
You fall into that position.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like punter, for instance. You fall into punter.
So punting is a speed walking of the NFL?
Yes, that is exactly what it is. That's probably why I love it so much. I can relate to them boys. You know,
that's why you love speed walking so
much. They want to run. They want to so bad. Boy, they want to play quarterback. It'd be great. But here we are, just hitting a home run derby on fourth downs when the offense fails. So let's keep it moving. That's probably why I like speed walkers, to be honest with you. It's probably why I like them. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Speedwalking is, it's still a super skill set.
Super skill set. Just like punting is, too. Let's remember that, okay?
Yeah.
For the brand.
For the brand.
Did you know you can get on the list to save a life just by swabbing your cheeks with DKMS, Sean?
What?
DKMS is an international not-for-profit organization dedicated to fight against blood cancer and blood disorders. Every 3 minutes, someone in the U.S. is diagnosed with a blood disease, and every 9 minutes, someone dies. You can be the change to that, Sean.
I'm looking forward to being the change.
I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him
to change his ways.
And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change.
Oh!
Man.
This podcast should become definitely a monthly subscription based.
Bro.
For the level of talent of singing.
Bro, that's that jam though, right there. That one. Because it's real. Like, hey, listen, let's change the world together as one. Register with DKMS to be a bone marrow donor and save the life of a blood cancer patient. Becoming a donor is quick, easy, and free. If you're a match, you'll need a few days off from work to make a donation, and DKMS will handle all the logistics and expenses. All you have to do is donate. Text BARSTOOL to 50555 for more info or go to DKMS.org for a free swab kit. That's go to DKMS.org for a free swab kit. Be the change. Cancer is something that affects everybody. Let's go ahead and just take care of it together as a team. Let's go ahead and look in that mirror and let's say, hey, we're going to beat the fuck out of cancer. We've decided.
We're going to be the change.
Change. DKMS.org, get a free swab kit or text BARSTOOL to 50555. 50555. Make it happen. That's awesome. This show's been a fun one. Hope you guys had a great Tuesday. We will talk to you on Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, last week we started a tradition that's going to go on forever and ever.
And ever.
And ever. if you listen to the end. That is what we like to call a bonus round, my friends. Is that not right, Sean?
That's exactly right, Pat. Bonus time.
Bonus round.
Here we go, bonus.
Bonuses.
Bonus Jonas.
Hey. All right, so listen. Last week we said use the hashtag McAfee Centaur if you're here, and we got a loud response on Twitter, flooded with McAfee Centaurs. At Ty Schmidt, we'll be connecting with 15 of you and giving away some free merch, a free t-shirt, and possibly, we'll probably sign something. We'll sign something for you, but the merch will be a McAfee Centaur shirt, and we'll be signing things. Sean and I, the chef, will sign something. We'll send you something.
I'll send you an old coffee lid from an old Starbucks cup with my autograph on it.
How about that? It'll have the name. He'll have his name on it from where the Starbucks person wrote the name, and then you'll have his autograph right below
right
it.
Right there.
Bow, bow. You got to get 15 of those, though, because we're giving out 15 of them, Sean.
Ooh, I better go get a gift card, Pat.
All right, this week, what I want you to do is use the hashtag, what's the temp, Pat? Sean? What's the temp, Pat, Sean? What's the temp, Pat, Sean, Foxy, Ty? Hashtag, what's the temp, Pat, Sean, Foxy, Ty? Okay?
In that, that order.
That is hashtag... WHATSTHEMPPATSHAUNFOXYTY. Hashtag, what's the temp, Pat, Sean, Foxy, Ty? You have to tell me what is the temperature to the 10th. So, like, it is... 12.6 degrees. Is that right? Is that right? The 10th? Is that the 10th decibel there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
10th decimal. To the 10th decimal, what is the degree in my office, my personal office, right now? You have to guess it. And you will win merch. What else? What else, Ty?
Couple autographs, maybe.
Couple autographs, maybe.
Maybe some autographed old Starbucks lids.
Oh, maybe a couple old Starbucks things. And maybe, just maybe, you could win a pair of socks that say, Yikes for the brand and Pat McAfee Show. They're great socks. Great socks. We can't sell them because no free ads, but fucking great socks.
Good. I mean, some, they look wonderful.
Your feet are going to be like, oh, that's like a hand job or a blow job for us guys.
What is this called? A foot massage all day?
Oh, a little FJ for the kid.
Let me just lean back. Let me have an iced tea.
Hashtag, what's the temp, Pat, Sean, Foxy, Ty? Tell me to the 10th decimal, what is the temperature in my office right now? I appreciate you for listening all the way to the end. From myself, at Sean Latham, at Evan Foxy, at Ty Schmidt, thank you so much for listening. We will fucks with you on Thursday.
Thursday.
Wow. We took off. We ate an edible a little bit ago. Tell the truth. I mean, if we're all telling the truth around here.
Okay. If now, if you're still listening,
mm-hmm. We'll see you Thursday. We'll see you there.